You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it's great to talk to you. How are you today?
I know. It's good to hear your voice. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing well. It's a beautiful, not too hot August day in North Carolina, and we're very grateful. Very grateful.
See, we're just getting our heat. In California, this is gearing up for the hottest time of the year. So, anyways.
Glad I'm in North Carolina and glad I'm in an air-conditioned house. So that's good.
That is good. Well, so Dad, why don't you introduce our topic for today?
Oh, I'd be glad to. You know, when I talk to business leaders, when I talk to young to mid-career professionals that I'm in mentoring relationships with, a lot of times the challenge is to figure out our context. Like, what is my context? And I think that's even true when we're thinking about God in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when I'll ask people, tell me about your walk with God, with your relationship with God, they tend to start ticking off kind of what they've done. So they've had a quiet time, they've prayed, they've gone to church, they've been to small group, they've read a Christian book, they've shared their faith, which is all really good and important. But sometimes, just to kind of get to a different point, I'll say, okay, I want you to describe your walk or your relationship, your experience with God, but I want you to only talk about the things that God's doing, not the things you're doing. And a lot of times they'll just be stuck.
Yeah.
They're just like, I have no idea what an answer would be. And then they think about it and they can begin to see some different things that God's doing. And so the title for this podcast episode is, What is God Doing in You Every Day? And the particular thing we're going to be talking about is the biblical concept of sanctification, that every day he's at work in our lives affecting this thing called sanctification.
Yeah.
And we won't understand our lives nor us in our day if we don't understand what that means.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. Well, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. So, like, in a short phrase, like, sanctification just means the way that God is at work in our lives?
Well, it's a little bit more specific than that. When we think about our salvation, you know, what God's done since we came to faith in Christ, the Bible tends to break it up into three pieces. One is our justification, which happened right when we became a Christian, that we were justified before God.
Okay.
The second part is sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part, when we die and go to be with him, is glorification.
Okay.
So sanctification is one third, not necessarily in terms of time. It's really, but more in terms of one of the three pieces of what it means that we have been saved by God.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so the Bible talks about sanctification kind of using, looking at it through different lenses.
Okay.
Like one way the Bible speaks of what our sanctification is it's God making us like his son, that we're becoming like Christ.
Okay.
So that's one way, one kind of window to look at it through. Another way of thinking about it is that we're being fully set apart for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of sanctification or holiness means that we're set apart for one person and for one purpose. And so the sanctification process is the process by which he continues to set us apart from, you know, our own selfishness, our own sin, the world, other things around us, and sets us to be just his, to live our lives for him. And then a third way that the Bible talks about sanctification, another angle it looks at it in, is the eradication of sin in our lives, mm-hmm. where we come to Christ, we're justified, but we're still wrestling with sin. We're still dealing with sin. And so the sanctifying process is the means by which God is eradicating sin out of our lives. Hmm. So those are kind of three angles, three perspectives through which to look at this idea of sanctification.
Yeah, no, that's good. And so, I mean, you've referenced multiple times that this is found in Scripture, but like, where is it found in Scripture? Do you have like a verse or a story that you can tie it to?
Yeah, there's a few that come to mind. Philippians 1:6 is a good one where it says, Paul says, "But I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ."
I love that verse.
And that kind of gets at all three parts of it. You know, the justification is what he began a good work in us.
Yeah.
That he's going to bring it to completion. He's doing some of that in this life. But it will finally be done at the day of Jesus Christ, at the return of Christ. So that's a good one. Another one that I love is 1 Thessalonians 4:3, where in the ESV translation it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification."
Huh.
So he's basically saying that one thing we can always know is God's will for us is for us to be more fully sanctified.
Hmm.
And then later in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Mm-hmm.
So that's 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and that gives us a great hope that, again, this is a continual thing, and that what Paul is praying for the Thessalonians is that the God of peace will himself sanctify them completely, that he'll complete the process in them.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Well, and when you were talking about the verse, the first verse from 1 Thessalonians, you said that God, I mean, this is a promise that God has made. This is, well, I think there's sometimes in life where I'm trying to figure out, okay, like, there are things that I want, but what has God actually promised? And it sounds like you're saying this is one of the promises that all believers can cling to. Like both the Philippians verse and the 1 Thessalonians verse that you mentioned first, like both say this is like God's will for all believers, and that he, like, we can be confident that he is going to do that. So that's a really encouraging thing to be able to hold on to, you know, like in like the challenges of life. That's really
It's interesting. Okay. The Philippians 1:6 in some ways communicates more like a promise of God, like I'm sure that he's going to do this.
Yeah.
The 1 Thessalonians 4:3, where it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," that's implying not only is this a promise, but God wills it, meaning he is going to effect it. So he's promised it, and he is going to effect it in us. That is his will. And then I think the 1 Thessalonians 5 kind of fully unpacks what that means.
Well, and that's just such an important thing. I mean, I know for me, like, I could relate to the story that you opened up with of, like, when you ask people about their walk with God and it's all, like, the stuff they're doing, because that is totally my natural tendency, is to think, like, okay, I need to be, like, and I mean, there is a part that I play in my growth, but, like, it's God who, like you said, wills it. And, like, we can have confidence in God that he is the one who is ultimately at work. You know, it's not all on us, like, in our willpower or whatever.
Yeah. It's interesting. You could think about it like a spectrum. And on the farthest left end of the spectrum is perhaps a Christian who is totally unaware that there is such a thing as sanctification and who basically understands their salvation as kind of fire insurance. That if I come to faith in Christ, what that means is that when I die, I will not go to hell, I'll go to heaven. And does not understand that in this life, there is this thing about sanctification. So that's maybe on one end of misunderstanding. On the complete other end of misunderstanding, it's the the fearful, obsessing Christian who is endlessly thinking they're not doing enough to sanctify themselves,
yeah.
or that it's all up to them, mm-hmm. and somehow they've got to pull off their sanctification.
Yeah.
And really, both of those ends are ill of form, because the idea is that it wholly is a work of God, but we have a part to play in it. I love the stuff that David Powlison wrote in his book, which is just a recommended resource that we'll have in our show notes for this. The book is called How Does Sanctification Work? And he basically is answering the question, how does God sanctify us?
Mm-hmm.
And so his answers are, well, the way that we change is, first, God changes us.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, God is the one who changes us. But also, truth changes us to where we're in the truth of the Word of God, we're reading the Bible, and we begin to see that it transforms us. And then wise people change us. So we're around godly, wise people, and just like Proverbs says, he who walks with wise men shall become wise. So that changes us. And then suffering and struggle changes, where God mm-hmm. uses those to get at the deep parts of who we are and to, mm-hmm. in some ways, purify us. So God changes us, truth changes us, wise people change us, suffering and struggle change us, and then we change.
Hmm.
And the idea there is we change as we come around those first four things.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to, by the Holy Spirit, have the effect in us that God has promised. And then he fortifies us, he motivates us to do those things we need to do to become like Christ, for sin to be eradicated, and for our lives to be more fully set apart for him.
Yeah. Man, that's good. Well, and you know, we've kind of already touched on this, but I'm going to go ahead and ask the question anyways, because I think, you know, when we hear a word like sanctification, like, at least for a long time, my understanding was like, oh, theology. Like, well, I'm not really a, like, an arguer, you know, like, I'm not someone who has, like, intellectual debates with people or is going to be convincing people in that way about my faith. So, like, I just didn't really think theological concepts like sanctification, that I really needed to understand it as long as I was reading the Bible and, you know, like, getting in the Word. So I feel like you've already kind of explained one piece of why it's so important to understand sanctification, so that we're have a right understanding of our relationship with God and our role and his role and our growth. But, like, I guess, what is the benefit to the average layperson like me from understanding the concept of sanctification? Why is it important?
Well, I think the reason it's important is because every day that you live on this earth, you know, once you've come to faith in Christ, this is one of the main things he is doing in you.
Hmm.
This is one of the promises, one of the commitments he's made. And so for us to rightly understand what it means to be in relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
we have to understand, well, what's he doing? And the thing, you know, a major thing he's doing is transforming us.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't rightly understand our walk with God
mm-hmm.
if we don't understand, well, what is he doing? And what he is doing is not just blessing us, not just answering our prayers, not just, you know, being our heavenly Father in kind of soft ways that sometimes we think about that, but he is committedly, sometimes radically, every day at work changing us to be like his Son. So I think that's one reason it's important. I think another reason is because it helps us to understand better the means of grace that we need to be heading towards, like being with wise people, being in God's Word.
Uh-huh.
And it helps us to also understand the meaning of suffering for us. You know, in Psalm 119 it says, it's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't understand, well, God uses even affliction, and sometimes especially affliction,
yeah,
to change us, then mm-hmm. we either are just, you know, discouraged that we're afflicted, or we're mad at God that we're afflicted,
yeah.
or we just think, surely the answer is that I will get to be quickly no longer afflicted,
yeah,
and not realize, well, no, God uses even that, and sometimes especially that,
mm-hmm.
to be transforming us. I think another reason this is important is because pretty much every day we're in relationship with other Christians,
mm-hmm.
either those who we work with or who work for us if we're in business, those in our family, those in our church, those in the Bible studies or small groups we're a part of. And to understand what God's doing in their life, we have to understand this as well, that He is continually at work in their lives, eradicating sin, making them more like Jesus, helping them to be more fully set apart for His use alone.
Yeah.
Does that get to that, Laura? Is that practical?
Yeah.
Is that relevant?
No, totally. Well, and something that you said is like, I have a question. Okay, so both with what you were just saying about as we're relating with other people, and it sounds like you're kind of saying being able to identify and encourage them, like even though you're going through challenges, like God is at work, you know, like
mm-hmm.
it's important to understand that. And then also in our own life, and you mentioned like discouragement, and I think like when I am in suffering or when I suffer, I don't think I tend to get mad at God, but I do tend to just get really like navel-gazy discouraged of like everything I'm doing wrong and all the weaknesses that I see, you know? And so I think both in ourselves and in others, I like what you're saying about if we understand like that, understand sanctification, it gives us hope in our own lives. And it also gives us like encouragement or hope to offer to others who are also struggling
absolutely.
Or suffering. So
yes.
That's good. Okay, so you already have mentioned one of the resources that you're drawing from for this talk. So that was an article by, who was that, Pallison? David Pallison?
Yeah, it's actually a book by David Pallison called How Does Sanctification Work?
Okay.
And it's a great book, and we will have a resource list as the show notes for this that you'll be able to find that at.
Perfect. Yeah, so listeners, make sure to look at those resources. There's some really good stuff. But then, Dad, another resource that I know that you're drawing from is your favorite, John Newton.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about either John Newton or like the book that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, with John Newton, I think many of our listeners will know about him. He was in the 1800s in England. He was a hard, godless man who actually was the captain of slave trading ships, where he would go to Africa. They would round up black people, put them in bondage in the ship, and bring them to England and to other parts of the Commonwealth as slaves. And through some amazing, again, traumatic kinds of things that happened in his life, he came to faith in Christ, completely moved away from the slave trading business, and became a pastor, and probably is most famous for writing the hymn Amazing Grace. But he was a pastor in England for the bulk of his life, and I've kind of joked through the years that when I grow up, I want to be like John Newton. He's the person that I want to be like. But John Newton had this idea that I guess fits under the concept of progressive sanctification, which is kind of a redundancy, in that we understand sanctification is a process, so to say it's progressive, you know, that's kind of saying the same thing. But he had this idea that there were stages of our sanctification. He kind of took this, interestingly, from Mark 4, 26 to 29, where Jesus says the kingdom of God is as If a man should scatter seed on the ground, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. He says the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And that whole idea of the blade, the ear, the full grain in the ear, he's talking about grain or corn. I think that he sees in that kind of a progression of grace, a progression of change as we grow in Christ. And then it's also similar to in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, where John says that he's writing to little children, he's writing to young men, and he's writing to fathers. And again, kind of that tripartite progression of children, young men, fathers.
Okay.
So that's what informed Newton as he began to think about what were those stages like, what was the focus of the believer in those stages, and what was God affecting in the in those seasons of life.
Awesome. Okay, great. Well, and I love this because I'm definitely like a visual person, so having he uses several different metaphors, which I found really helpful. But let's talk about one of those metaphors. The first is that of like an oak tree and its root system. And so I'm going to read a quote, and then I'd like to hear more from you about this. So the quote is, and this is from, again, this resource will be, this book will be listed in our resources page, and this is chapter 7 from that book. But anyways, the quote says, "The growth of a believer is not like a mushroom, but like an oak, which increases slowly indeed, but surely. Many suns, showers, and frost pass upon it before it comes to perfection, and in winter, when it seems dead, it is gathering strength at the root. Be humble, watchful, and diligent in the means, and endeavor to look through it all and fix your eyes upon Jesus, and all shall be well." So, one thing that I took from that quote is that sanctification is often difficult to see from the surface and often very, very slow. but that just the idea that God is using, it says sun, showers, frost, and winter to deepen our roots. So, Dad, how have you seen that to be true in your own life?
Well, it's definitely slow in that I, by God's grace, I have been a Christian for 49 years, and I definitely see that I am a very different man in many, many ways than I was when I was 16 and came to faith in Christ. And I guess two things that I conclude from that. One is, there were so many times along the way when I wondered if I was growing at all.
Totally.
To where I could just see nothing going on.
Yeah.
And yet, again, that promise in Philippians 1, he who began a good work in me was bringing it to completion.
Yeah.
And so like Newton's idea of the oak tree, those roots were growing. And things underneath the surface of the bark were growing, though it was hard to see.
Yeah.
So that's one way I see it to be true. But I think the other thing is, having been a Christian now for 49 years, I see how much further I have to go. And I still see that even 49 years into being a Christian, I am still awfully slow and awkward and sinful and rebellious. And in some ways, just not really good at being a Christian. And yet God continues, even 49 years in, to just relentlessly, unswervingly, committedly changing me, growing me to be like His Son, and to eradicate sin in me, and to more fully, wholly set me apart for Him.
Yeah. Well, and I know I've heard you say this before. I'm not sure if this is a concept that originated with you or not, but just the whole idea of like that the longer you walk with God, almost the more aware you would become of how far you are, you know, like your own sinfulness. So it's not that you're actually moving backwards, but you just see more and more clearly the areas where you still have to grow, which it's always kind of encouraging to me to hear you say that, because I can totally see ways that God's at work in your life. It's harder for me to see it in my own life, but so it's always, I don't know, that's just, to me, that seems crazy that you wouldn't be able to see that. But yeah, God, yeah, it's just neat. I don't know, just the way that God is always at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, great, Dad. Thanks so much for kind of sharing some of your thoughts on this. And this is the first part of a two-part series on sanctification. So the second episode will be focused on progressive sanctification. And so kind of taking that Newton analogy that you already set up and just how God does in different stages work in our lives and develop us. So I guess, what are your final thoughts?
You know, one of the things that I come to a lot in life, Laura, is just as God's working in my life, to see the need for a compelling, biblical, God-centered vision for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's certainly true with sanctification, you know, in terms of us becoming more like Christ, for sin to be eradicated in us, for us to be more wholly set apart from Him.
Mm-hmm.
Having a compelling vision is sure helpful. And the vision we use in Leadership Edge is this one: by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman and my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a good vision for us to end this session on.
Hmm.
You know, God's calling us to be like His Son, to eradicate sin, to be more wholly set apart for Him. And a vision that goes right along with that, what we're heading towards, is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess just a blessing to leave our listeners with today is the verse that we read from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So this is what I'm praying for our listeners as they listen to this podcast. Now may the God of peace Himself — it's interesting to link peace with sanctification —
mm-hmm.
may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how we'll end today's episode.
Great. Thanks, Dad, and thanks, listeners. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode on sanctification.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.